We say good morning now to Dr. Nancy Nielsen. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning, Jay.
Some news regarding the Buffalo Bills. We know the Bills are going to be in the playoffs. We know the Bills are going to have a home playoff game, maybe two, perhaps, if they're lucky. But we also now understand that perhaps the state is going to allow fans into the stadium.
Well, first of all, just one caution. They're studying this as a demonstration program. But the governor announced it yesterday in his press briefing. And he said that what they're going to do is they're going to consider testing all the fans who are coming into the stadium. And the Bills, working with the NFL, have proposed 6,700 as the number of fans who would come in. And then they would all be tested, and if they test negative, they would be allowed in. And then the second part of this is there's more than two parts, actually. They'd be socially distanced, and they have to wear a mask at all times. If they don't wear a mask, they're ejected. So the point is, tested before. If they're negative, they come in, and then they'll be contact traced afterwards in case anybody does turn positive. This would be the first in the nation where an NFL team any kind of game was testing all people.
You know, 6,700 in a stadium that seats, I think, from the general public is about 70,000 now. It used to be 80. But from on the surface, do you feel confident, or want to be cautiously optimistic?
I'm cautiously optimistic. First of all, I think the Bills are going to do great. And the important thing is some people will be able to watch them live, and everybody else in the whole world is going to watch them on TV.
A lot of talk about this mutation of the virus that's coming out of the United Kingdom. And in your notes, you mentioned that the United States does only a fraction of the genetic monitoring that's done elsewhere, like the United Kingdom. What can you tell us more about that reality, that perhaps maybe when it comes to genetic monitoring, the United States is maybe not doing what some other nations are doing?
Well, we're not, and it's a problem, and frankly, CDC needs to increase its capabilities. To to be frank, mutations are a natural part of the life of microbes of all sorts, and viruses, of course, we know mutate. We know that because of our experience with influenza. This virus has mutated thousands of times already as it kind of hopscotches across the globe. So finding a mutation is not an issue. Most of the mutations have been one or two spots in the genetic code. But this UK mutant is different. It has about 17 mutations that seem to occur all at once. And they found it because the UK is doing a whole lot of genetic testing. Let me give you an example. In our country, we've had over 300 million cases. We've had 17 million cases. And we've tested genetically 292 samples, whereas in the UK, they've tested well over 9,000. So we need to catch up, because that's how we're going to find out if these mutations are important and are going to impact on whether the vaccines are going to work or not. That's really the issue. Not is it mutating, because it will, and it probably won't matter much, but will the vaccines work? The two manufacturers who've already received authorization by the FDA are checking that now, are testing to see if the vaccines are going to be effective, and they think so. The reason is the vaccines induce a real repertoire, complex repertoire of antibodies. And one virologist said they produce 1,000 big guns pointed at the virus. I thought that was a great phrase.
So in that regard, you feel somewhat confident that the vaccines can help with this mutation or any other mutation?
Well, everybody is expressing tremendous hope. We think that this mutant may already be in the U.S. Dr. Fauci has opinionated on that, as have other infectious disease specialists. So it may be here, but we don't even know. Remember, this mutant doesn't seem to be more lethal. It does seem to spread faster, though. So the quicker we all can have vaccine available, and hopefully everybody who is eligible will accept it when it's offered to them, then we can forget about this virus.
There is a story about a man who died on a flight from Orlando to California. He apparently, as we find out later, that he did have COVID symptoms, but that's just part of the story, isn't it?
Well, it's really sad. It's really sad because, you know, he became very ill on the flight, and people did about 45 minutes of CPR. The plane was diverted to New Orleans, and he died. His wife told people that he had COVID symptoms. And so, you know, he obviously had not told the truth on the attestation about health requirements. You know, this is just a reminder, please don't endanger yourself or other people when you're boarding public transportation. There's a reason why we ask these questions, why temperatures are checked and so on, and they're not perfect, but they're sure not going to be perfect if people don't tell the truth.
You get a lot of public input about some of the things that you offer your expertise on here, and sometimes it's not always positive, but I guess maybe reaching out to those who have expressed doubts about the way public health has approached this pandemic. Is there just some basic guidelines? For example, like you just pointed out, making sure that if you do in fact have symptoms, to identify those, at least accept the fact that you have this, and this is a virus that can spread in deadly fashion.
Absolutely. And I think that when people have a fixed opinion, for example, that this virus is really not a problem and it's being overblown, the only way to encounter each other is to speak respectfully to one another and to try to present facts as much as we have them. To denigrate somebody's opinion is never a way to persuade them to change that opinion. So I think the more we can engage in more civil discourse, we may not change minds, but we're not going to anger each other in the way that we've seen lately.
Thank you very much, as always, for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.